the series, it was especially agonizing. Eisner insisted publicly, if implausibly, that he would turn down Survivor again if offered the opportunity, because it was lowbrow, didn't measure up to ABC's standards, and would cheapen the Disney brand. The enormous viewership for Survivor also gave CBS the chance to promote its fall lineup, including the other prominent ABC reject, CSI. Apart from Millionaire, ABC had failed to create a single new bona fide hit, though The Practice, The Drew Carey Show, and Dharma and Greg benefited from proximity to Millionaire. Of course, ABC still had Millionaire. The network hoped for another ratings sweep when the new season debuted that fall. Unlike ABC, CBS opted to maintain Survivor as a 13-week event, and the next installment wouldn't be aired until after the Super Bowl the following January. But Survivor had dealt Millionaire a serious blow. It had lost the momentum of TV's hot smash hit. Next to Survivor, it seemed staid and predictable. Young people abandoned it in droves, leaving Millionaire and its aging host to cater increasingly to an audience of couch-bound retirees. In the November 2000 sweeps, ABC eked out a victory in total viewers, but lost the key 18-to-49-year-old demographic to NBC, the focus of all the headlines with its hit shows Friends and ER. Because of Millionaire, the age of the network's average viewer leaped from 41 to 49 years. Michael Davies came under increasing pressure to create special episodes to inject some freshness into Millionaire. Not just Celebrity Millionaire, but also shows featuring sports stars, college kids, anything with a twist. Braun dutifully articulated the company line, "Millionaire is going to be a staple of the network for quite a while." At the same time the network's fortunes were faltering, the consumer products division continued its precipitous slide, with operating income dropping from nearly $900 million in 1997 to just $386 million in 2000. Disney hired Andy Mooney, a Scotland-born Nike marketing executive, to try to resurrect the Disney brand, which was still suffering from a dearth of product spin-offs from animated hits. Eisner made a point of introducing Mooney to Roy, stressing that Roy was the custodian of the Disney image, and urging Mooney to work closely with him. In the fall of 2000, Mooney asked Roy to speak to the creative people who worked with the Consumer Products Division, who had gathered for a retreat at California Adventure, Disney's newest park not yet open to the public. Mooney spoke first, stressing the importance of the Disney brand, but Roy immediately contradicted him. "Branding is for cattle," Roy said, arguing that what was important was creating stories and the products they generated. That Christmas, Mooney had the idea of creating a mountain of all white plush toys in the Disney stores. This meant that Disney would have to produce a white version of a plush Mickey. Store managers warned Mooney that this was heresy. Mickey was black, period. Mooney thought this was ridiculous. Roy complained to Eisner and Iger, who nonetheless backed Mooney. Mooney and Roy began clashing over nearly everything Mooney proposed. When he wanted to launch a princess line of merchandise, Roy argued that it was inappropriate to portray and market characters like Cinderella and Snow White together, when in the fairy